Hey guys, welcome to the Daily Actor Podcast. I'm Lance Carter, and in this episode, I'm talking with Chris Lowell. So, like a couple weeks ago, Chris came onto my radar with Enlisted. That's the new Fox show that he stars in. It's one of the best shows out there right now, and you definitely should check it out if you haven't had a chance. Then I watched this new movie, Brightest Star, and was like, hey, that's the guy from Enlisted. I mean, I know he was on Veronica Mars, but I'm just now watching that show and I haven't gotten to any of his episodes yet. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that I like Chris. He's a really good actor and he's an even better guy. And you're going to hear that in the interview. So Brightest Star is about a guy played by Chris who, right out of college, is dumped by his girlfriend Charlotte, played by Rose McIver. So he reinvents himself into the man he thinks that she wants. Trouble is, along the way, he ends up falling for his friend, Lita. The movie's directed by actress Maggie Kiley, and I liked it a lot. I think you guys might like it too, so you should definitely check it out. In the interview, we talk about the film, how he didn't play his character's wishy-washiness. Is that even a correct term? I don't know. We also talk about Enlisted, his advice to actors, and the best thing, his worst audition. I'll give you a little hint. It's Unchained. And now a couple plugs. If you need a website, casting director, mailing labels, career coaching, list of headshot photographers in your area, we've got all of that and more. Check out dailyactor.com. And now, here's Chris.
I really, really like the film. I thought it was really good.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to shoot. It was a crazy, all hands on deck, classic indie filmmaking sort of style, but I loved it. It was a lot of fun.
So how long did it take to shoot?
We shot the whole film in 18 days.
Wow, really?
But we did 3 6-8 weeks all over Manhattan. And not just Manhattan, actually, all over New York. I think we hit every borough except for Staten Island. And it was totally cacophonous, but it was a complete joy. I think everybody involved was so excited about the project and so committed to it that it was comparatively effortless.
How long were your days?
Really, we pretty much, because the budget was so tight, we really couldn't go over that much. So we pretty much kept them at 12-hour days. There were definitely some 14, 16, 18-hour ones here and there. And then we did a lot of night shoots, a lot of splits, starting at 5 p.m. and going till 5 a.m. There are a few of those, which are crazy. But it was all good.
You know, I would imagine doing something like that where you're just so busy and you're working so long and hard, but it's you still have your energy up because it's just so kind of exciting. You know, you're working with this group of people who are like, have one goal, just to make the best like movie they can, you know?
Yeah, I think when days move much slower when you don't have a lot to do.
Yeah.
When you're in, I was sort of lucky enough to be in just about every scene of this film, and when that's the case, the days move so much faster because you just don't have any time to get bored. Things are just flying past you, and all you can do is try and keep up. And so as a result, there's this adrenaline rush that stays with you throughout the day, and it's great because when you get home, you immediately pass out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. With your character, you could have easily fallen into this zone of being, I don't want to say wishy-washy, but I guess that's the only sort of term I can think of, but meaning that, you could have played that throughout the whole movie, but and there were sort of times and scenes where you definitely did that, but you didn't fall into that at all, and I think that's kind of a testament to you,
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's definitely, it's tough because, what I really like about the character is that he doesn't always have his shit together, that he can be very indecisive, that he can be, indifferent about other people's feelings. I like that he's not a squeaky clean character. But it's difficult to play those characters and still be the protagonist because even in your faults, you still need to give the audience a reason to root for you. So it's definitely something that really more I appreciate you saying that, but it's really more of a testament to Maggie as a director kind of knowing the times where I really should know what I want and the times where I am allowed to be wishy-washy and the times where I am allowed to be selfish. I mean, I think Maggie and I really spent a lot of time as sort of figuring out those moments so that it didn't fall too far into one category or another.
And your relationship with both the girls in the film, did you guys have, because I mean, it seems so true, I guess, you know, and it's, did you guys have any sort of rehearsal time, or how did you guys get to know each other? Because I mean, you're only 18 days, and
it's right, exactly. Well, I think because we had such little time, because we only had 18 days, for me personally, I wanted to become as, you know, connected with the actors as possible, because I knew we wouldn't have much time to rehearse. And so Rose and I started immediately emailing and calling each other on the phone and kind of building a relationship before we met in person. And then Maggie, coming from a theater background, thankfully, was really, had found a way to work in some time to rehearse. And so we had plenty of opportunities to really kind of explore the space, explore the scenes. And Maggie, being an actor herself, was also extremely helpful because she was able to, you know, kind of shortcut our issue. She knew what our problems were going to be. She knew where we were going to struggle. We didn't have to explain ourselves. She immediately understood it because she's been there herself. So as a result, you definitely felt the chemistry kind of happened very quickly, partially because it had to and partially because I think we really did everything in our power to establish it as much as we could before we started shooting.
And another great part is that, like, I expected Rose's character to turn into a bitch. You know what I mean? Just because movies kind of like this, you kind of expect her sort of character to...
The structure you're anticipating is that Rose ends up being a bitch, and then I end up with Jessica's character, and I've learned a lesson, and, like, we all know that structure.
Yeah.
That's what one of the things I like about... One of the things that's so great about this film is that none of the characters are, A, predictable, and really all of the characters are muddy. They're three-dimensional. They have doubts. They say things and then do something else. They make mistakes. They fall on their faces. You know, they all have a real humanity. It's really easy to make the ex-girlfriend the bitch, or, you know, for him to end up with the cool indie chick who also happens to be rich and her family loves you. Like, and I think it's so much more interesting to see what happens when that isn't how it goes down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I just feel like as a viewer, as an audience member, it's a lot more compelling when you think something's going to happen and it goes a very different direction.
Uh-huh. I want to ask you about Enlisted real quick, if I could.
Sure, absolutely.
Man, freaking terrific show.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's a really fun show.
The only thing that sucks about it is it's on Fridays. I mean...
Tell me about it, dude. You're preaching to the choir over here. I think, honestly, you know, and this is something that I feel very proud of. The first show I was ever on was a show called Life as We Know It, which was critically acclaimed, but I don't think the network really knew what to do with it. And then same thing happened with Veronica Mars, and now with Enlisted. And I think oftentimes when you have a voice as unique as these shows all have, oftentimes it takes the network a while to figure out how to work with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's really, and I mean, frankly, like I'm so humbled by how well the show has been received. I mean, it's been sort of, the reviews have been just so amazing across the board. And I think that's really the only reason we're still on the air at all is because of this almost immediate fan base that we had. And having reviewers really, really believe in us and really support us. And all we can do as actors is just hope that the network gets on board and really gets behind the show. And I hope, you know, we're sort of the little engine that could so far. I mean, you know, our numbers, we opened low, but then our DVR numbers, we jumped 87%, and then they changed us just they changed this to just 30 minutes earlier, and we jumped another 67%. So it's clear that there's an audience that wants to see the show, and hopefully Fox will come around to putting us on a time when people actually want to watch television at all. You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm totally pulling for the show, man. I really, really love it, and I hope it stays on forever. So, just two more questions because I got you for a couple more minutes. But kind of an acting question. What is the worst audition you've ever had?
Oh my God! It was so funny. I was talking. It's perfect for this piece. I was auditioning for Django Unchained, okay?
Okay.
And this is, by the way, this is just the most recent horrible audition, because there are just so many. But Rose and I were talking about this earlier. Rose is great with accents, because she's from New Zealand, and so she's always having to switch into British, into Australian, into American. So I was playing this Australian character, and so I've been working on this with these, accent tapes. And I called Rose, like, hey, Rose, can I do my Australian accent for you? Tell me what you think. And she's like, yeah, no, sure, no problem. And so I did it, and she literally just point blank was like, that was the worst accent I have ever heard in my entire life. And then, so to sort of, and she's like, I really don't think you should do the audition. And I was like, no. And so then just to, like, I don't even know what I was thinking at this point. So I guess maybe dig myself in deeper, I then decided I would just push it even harder. And then, since the character was such this, like, kind of debaucherous slime ball, I have one of these, like, great actor epiphanies where I'm like, oh, this will be a good idea. And in the audition room, in front of the casting director, I just spit on the floor, just, like, talked a huge loogie on the floor. And then just, it was like one of those things where, like, I did it, and then immediately realized how just horrible a decision that was. But at that point, like, the train's already left the station, you gotta keep rolling with it.
Yeah.
It was a disaster. Anyway, the role ended up going to Tarantino himself, so clearly I feel like if the director ends up playing the part, you feel like you kind of win, you know? At least that's what I'm telling myself and my therapist, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'll go with you on that one. And my last question is, what's your advice to actors?
I think, for me, what I do when... I mean, I think the hardest thing about acting, about being an actor, not necessarily the hardest thing about acting, but the hardest thing about being an actor is that it's one of the few art forms that you have no control over in terms of getting the job. Like, I can't make an audition come to me. I have to sit around and wait for the phone to ring until one presents itself, and then I can do everything in my power to book the job. But so often, there's so little of it is in our control, and I think for me what's been really helpful is finding other things I can do outside of acting that still fulfill me creatively and that I can have an active pursuit of, whether that's writing or, for me, photography is a big passion of mine. I just think staying busy is really crucial. The longer, the sort of more lethargic you get, the longer you kind of wait for the phone to ring, the more important each audition becomes, the more pressure you end up putting on yourself, and I think that does just a lot more bad than good.
Yeah, that's perfect, because I've been there, that you're, like, explaining me at times, it's perfect.
Totally, I mean, it's me at times, that's why I started, like, I had to find other things to do, because I would literally just sit around, or I'd email or call my manager or agent, like, they call you, it's just out of my control, there's nothing I can do. And so I just started finding other things, whether it was, going back to school, or taking or writing or going to classes, just anything to keep my mind occupied and still feel like I'm making progress as an artist, even if it's not as an actor right now today, I think is just it helps you kind of get perspective and balance on, like, the world, you know what I mean, and your place in it.
Thanks, Chris, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter @DailyActor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/DailyActor. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.